Hello, welcome to The Musics in Japan,
a conversational podcast about daily life for an American couple living long-term in Japan.
So lately I've been thinking about the difference between touching in the United States and touching in Japan. And I get touched far less in Japan than I did in the United States. I feel like in the United States, everybody was always touching me, like touching my arm or hugging me. I feel like every time I met my girls, I hugged. There's a lot of touching.
Yes.
Really? Yes is all you have for the people? So touching bothers me less than it bothers you, but being touched does bother me.
Being touched at all bothers you, or just people you don't know, or people you feeling the social obligation to allow yourself to be touched, or
feeling a social obligation to allow myself to be touched? And so we don't do trigger warnings on the show, but
we put content notes on the transcripts. So if you just listen, you don't get them. But if you check the transcript.
And this time I'm going to do a trigger warning because most of my life I've been touched inappropriately.
Okay.
And so if that type of thing is upsetting or triggering for you, you might not want to listen to this episode.
Okay.
You think that's fair?
Yep. Boop.
Really?
Yeah.
So like that was the exit point was like
that
was the weird.
That was the exit point. Yes.
Okay. So something that's happened to me my entire life is aggressive hugging. And there's only been one person in Japan who's been able to aggressively hug me.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally left Japan and I threw myself like a parade that they were gone. I cringed every time I would see them because we weren't friends, first of all. We were not friends. We did not like each other. And I don't know. Maybe they liked me, but they didn't talk well of me.
Right.
So they would like say how much they love me to my face and then talk trash about me behind my back.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe personally they liked me, but professionally they didn't.
It's hard to say. Or maybe they liked you so much they wanted everybody else to stay away.
Maybe.
You've had that happen before.
Yeah, I have. So in the United States, this would happen to me quite often. And in Japan, only happened to me once, where somebody would hug me and then press their genitalia against mine.
Mm-hmm.
And in a hug, there's never any reason that should ever happen.
Yeah.
And also, like, hugging me and then, as you release from the hug, doing a side swipe on the boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Or hugging and mashing my boobs against them.
Right.
And, like, sometimes people would give it a rock back and forth. And I just feel like ill every time that happens. And so in case anybody's wondering, yes, that is sexual assault. If you're touching someone in a sexual way without their consent, that's sexual assault. And I never consented to that. And it happened to me a lot in the United States. And I always felt guilty and ashamed every time it happened to me. Because I feel like because it's been happening to me my whole life that I should know better and how to avoid it. So I'm very good at the hip rock out.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that for me is that if I do the hip rock out, I'm doing the protruding of the breast.
Yeah, just because of the physics of it.
Yeah. So I try to do the side hug, but then people usually kiss me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how to, like, now I think if anyone goes to hug me, I need to say no thank you.
Yeah, especially Japanese people, you just say, "Iye," which is no, but it's also no thank you.
No Japanese person has ever tried to hug me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That has not been my experience.
You get hugged by Japanese nationals?
Yes, I do.
Who's hugging you?
Well, nobody now, but at my last job, people would make attempts to hug me.
Because your last job was doing that fake family shit.
Yeah.
Like, we're a family here. We're a family, not a corporation.
Yeah.
Until it's time to pay you a fair wage.
Mm-hmm. Can I get an allowance, Mom?
Okay. I have to tell you guys something that we do. So, anytime... You got me good.
Thank you.
You got me so good that time. Oh, my God. So... We're going to let you guys in on the joke. Just let me get back.
Let her catch her breath.
Yes. Oh my goodness. It's so ridiculous. Oh my gosh, we're so ridiculous. So whenever I take a drink of water, I make this motion. I motion to Chad with my finger, like, keep talking.
Fill the void. Fill the silence.
Yes. Yes, I don't want it to be dead air. And I get dehydrated whenever I speak. So I drink a lot of water. And Chad does not like, he's like, what am I supposed to say? You're in the middle of a thought. I'm like, yeah, but I'm thirsty. Keep talking. And he says something funny. And that time, I swear, I almost sprayed water all over you. So I'm going to take a sip of water. Please keep the folks entertained while I do.
Okay, enjoy the sip. So just as a small digression, she just drank a half liter, and she might drink 2 or more liters during the episode.
Yes.
So when she says she gets thirsty, she's being for real.
Yes, I drink bottles of water. So I think the reason my skin is so smooth and flawless, as it is, I just did like a cheesy wink at Chad. But no, people always comment on my skin and they're like, what's your secret? I think honestly it's genetics.
I think it's not letting people touch you.
Yeah, genetics, not letting people touch me, not wearing makeup, always wearing sunscreen, avoiding the sun, and drinking lots of water.
Yes. So, yeah, in my last company, people like to touch. And in the local...
The one person you liked who always left punctually?
No.
So, okay, the owner of the company would hug me, but it was an appropriate hug. Like, it was just a shoulder-to-shoulder hug.
Oh, yeah, no, it wasn't inappropriate.
So I could tell that they had been hugged inappropriately. I can always tell when a woman's been hugged inappropriately because there's a way to, like, curl your shoulders in. And if the person does that, reciprocates that, then you guys are having an appropriate hug. If you're hugging chest to chest with somebody, to me, some people do that, but I think they've never been hugged inappropriately. Like, if you just hug chest to chest and it's a firm hug, it's not a big deal. But if you start rocking or, like, doing a side swipe touching of the breast or pressing your genitals into them, then that's an inappropriate hug.
Yes, definitely.
And so for me, I find that in the United States, it would happen most often, and here in Japan, the one time it happened, undercover lesbians. So they would, so for me, an undercover lesbian, people can identify as heterosexual and still have sex with the same sex if that's their choice. I will always think of them as at minimal sexually fluid, but most strongly bisexual. And if you never sleep with men, but always only sleep with women, but only do so when you're drunk because you're celibate, in my mind, you're a lesbian. That's just me. And I'm sorry if it pisses you off if you fall in that category where you think of yourself as celibate, you haven't slept with men in years, you get drunk and sleep with women. I think you're a lesbian. I'm just saying that.
See, I think you're not celibate. I don't know if you're lesbian or bisexual or what. I just think you're not celibate if you're sleeping with people. I think, like...
Well, I've had people tell me that. I've had people argue with me about this and say, I only kiss women and fondle their boobs, but I've never gone down on a woman. And I'm like, do you think all lesbians like to go down on their partner?
Because
no, not every lesbian does.
Your sexual identity is not the things you do or the things that are done to you. It's your preferences.
Yeah. It's your attractions.
Yeah.
So you guys can argue and debate and send me all kinds of hate. I don't care. I think that if you're enjoying the female form sexually and you are attracted sexually to the female form and you identify as female, that you are a lesbian.
See, I was waiting for you to skip that last one. Be like, yep, I'm a lesbian.
Why? But you're not a woman.
Exactly. But if you hadn't said that, I'd be like, I don't make the rules. Kisra makes the rules.
Oh my God, you're such a cornball today. So no, you're not a lesbian, Chad. You're a white, cisgendered, heterosexual male. You are the epitome of the man.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
So when y'all fight the power, please don't fight Chad. He's not power. We're not in the United States, so you are not part of the power structure.
I am not.
Because we're in Japan and we don't even have the right to vote for us.
I'm a model minority, which we've talked about on a different episode.
Yeah.
But I find that for me, touching in Japan is, and in the US too, is mostly handshakes. Like, people have always sensed that I'm not really a huggy person, and only people who are, like, extreme huggers.
People have not always sensed that about you.
People have not always respected that, but I think they knew.
If somebody looks like they're going to hug you, you physically take steps back to make it the distance awkward if they try.
Yes.
And then
it's like a zombie movie where they, like, go for the hug, and then they end up lurching because I move.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about they, like, stagger around trying to get the hugs, and they can't do it because I'm just dodging and weaving.
How are zombie movies, like, people trying to get hugs?
It's people lunging for each other. They're not trying to get hugs in zombie movies.
Yeah, so if people try to hug you, it ends up being a lunge.
Yeah.
And then you stabilize them by grabbing their hands. So it's not people are sensing you're not a hugger. It's you're actively dodging hugs.
Some of them sense it very late in the process.
Okay, yes. Yes. Okay, I'll give you that. They figure it out. They just get the vibe when you're grabbing their hand to stabilize them because they've almost knocked themselves to the ground trying to hug you.
Right. Exactly. Okay,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm talking about sensing in that way.
But Japanese people, for some reason, even though they bow to each other, many Japanese men in particular want to shake hands with me.
Oh, it's like using their English?
Yeah, and I'm like, do you not see the cane in my right hand? But fine, let me take the cane out of my right hand to shake your hand and then put it back. And I do it very pointedly. Like, okay, I see that you are unable to control your hand. Your hand is like a homing missile seeking mine out.
I've seen you do it. It doesn't look pointed at all.
It feels pointed to me.
Okay, that's the main thing.
Because, like, I have the constant war in me between grace and pointedness.
Yeah, and you're much more graceful and pointed.
Yeah, I was conditioned that way, to be gracious to other people. I didn't mean graceful.
You're really good at being sharp with me, but it's very rare that you're sharp with anyone else. And you're sharp with me because you love me.
Yes.
Because I make you feel safe.
Yes. And because...
We always hurt the ones we love.
Well, and because it's a choice. It's like, do I be gracious and then avoid that person whenever possible? Or do I directly let them know, don't do that? So that I can be around them more, but then they'll feel all awkward.
Okay. So I find something that's universal for me no matter where I am in the world. If I am on public transportation, I get groped.
Mm-hmm.
And so for everyone out there who gropes on public transportation, yes, you are committing a crime. Yes, it is sexual assault. And yes, every single person that you grope knows that you, specifically you, nasty, disgusting, pervert groper, grope them. And the reason that they don't do anything is because there's not an authority figure there. By the time they got an authority figure, the train would be gone.
Right.
Because if they had roving police on the trains like they do in some of the places in the U.S., I would report their ass and have them arrested and press charges mm-hmm. to the fullest extent of the law.
Yeah.
So the most aggressive thing I've ever done is I would ride the same bus every day and mm-hmm. someone groped me and I had the bus driver hold the bus and we called the police and they were locked in and that person was flipping out. But everybody's seen them do it and they got arrested. So yes, now they are registered as a sex offender. So be aware that in the United States, if the person has a mind to, if it's on a bus, and if they know the bus driver, that they can hold the bus until the police come. And if you grope, you become a sexual offender.
Yeah.
You get on the sexual offenders list, and it jacks up your whole life. But I've had people, like, when I'm walking down the street, ride past me on a bike and grope me. Mm-hmm. Like, smack me on the ass.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I was like, you go, girl, to, like, the news reporter a few months back that got groped when she was reporting on a relay.
Yes.
And the guy was like, I'm a pastor and a father. And I'm like, yeah,
okay. It was harmless. It wasn't sexual. Yeah, bullshit. It was.
Yeah. You should not touch people's bodies without their permission.
Yes.
Unless you're doing consensual non-consent.
But then you still have their permission. That's a whole other kink thing. But
yeah. I mentioned that a lot.
Consensual
non-consent. It's like a whole fetish, man.
Yes.
A whole fetish.
But in that, both people have agreed to it in advance.
So I've had clients who are upset that I don't hug them. I've had clients scream it at the top of their lungs at me. I just need to be hugged. I just need to be touched. And I still stay in my chair across the room from them.
Yeah. Well, and in Japan, you can, I don't think they actually call them cuddle cafes, but I think there's this kind of thing in the U.S. too. There are places where you can go in Japan to sleep with someone.
Yeah, in a snuggle way.
In a snuggle way, yeah.
Yeah, and so for me, even when I was doing therapy in the United States, I didn't hug. I wasn't physical, except for when I was doing physical play with
children, with
specific children
yeah.
that needed physical play as part of their therapy.
Right.
So then it's only because it was a therapeutic requirement, and as mm-hmm. soon as they age out of that, I stop touching them.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as possible, I stop touching.
Yeah.
So I really don't like touching people other than family.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about it, I'm trying to think of who do I like touching that's not related to me, that's not you or Rasta.
I can't think of anybody. And I know you enjoy the Japanese culture of not touching other people.
Yes, I do.
Which is not universal. So between close friends, there's lots of touching.
Yes, but as soon as we get to the touching portion of the friendship, I'm done.
Yeah.
I really don't like being touched.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I didn't think I'd ever be that person that didn't like being touched.
Mm-hmm.
I always just go by other people's rules, but I guess that's a facade. Because if people don't say anything, I don't touch them.
Yeah.
And if people don't say that they... And if people say they don't like being touched, I don't touch them. And if people say that they like hugs, I don't hug them.
Yeah.
So I'm not going off of people. I guess I'm going off of me.
So I have a new script that I want to try out.
Okay. I'm ready for it.
Okay. So you know the people who are like, I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell me you're a hugger.
I'm a hugger.
I'm a biter.
High five, because that was awesome. And some people might be, yes, please. Then what are you going to do?
Hmm?
Then some people might be, yes, please. Then what are you going to do, Mr. Clever Pants?
I'm married. This dentition is reserved for my wife.
Yes, it is. And I love it. I'm into it. So the bowing culture in Japan, a lot of Americans get really offended.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to bow to people. I'm not going to bow down to you.
Yeah, but they won't think anything of giving, like, the head nod up. Like,
yeah, hey. But, like, the head nod down.
Yeah.
Is the ojigi, baby.
Right.
Getting ojigi with it.
I will nod my head in an upward motion at you, but how dare you think I will nod my head in a downward motion at you?
Yeah, it's a show, because I think of it as like a sign of subservience.
Right.
But it depends on how deep the bow is.
Yeah.
So for me.
Like, now, if you're getting down onto your knees and putting your, you know, face on the carpet, that's
prostration.
Yeah. Exactly. That's like our company killed some people. And we're apologizing for it.
Oh my god. Yeah, they don't bow like that. So I like the art of bowing in Japan. And it took me a lot of years to understand that women don't put their hands in front of them to bow. Men do? No, women put their hands in front, men don't.
Yeah.
So now I put my hands in front.
Well, and women put their hands in front is not universal. Just like there's female Japanese language,
mm-hmm.
like certain constructs that are used mostly by women. Like
nay at the end of a sentence versus yo.
Yeah.
At the end of the sentence, but those aren't strictly followed.
Exactly. And the same thing with bowing. It's not strictly followed that women always put their hands in front of them. Like, the time that you'll see that is in department stores and things where they've been trained.
I think it's more common than that.
Okay. It's the times when I notice it. Is like if you're at a bank or a department or store or something, right when they open up, then they'll do that.
Because that's like a particular hand position.
Exactly.
Rather than, so for like the really strict bowing, it's hands straight out, arms straight at your side, and then depending on who you are in the relationship, says the degree.
Yeah.
Of how deeply you're supposed to bow. And for women, it's hands put together, but not interlaced.
Mm.
And sometimes women just like roll their hands in a little bit
mm-hmm.
and bow.
Yeah. And if you're bowing to like one, that's a pretty deep bow.
If you're bowing to one?
Yeah, I'm using radians here because degrees is awkward. But like,
why is degree awkward?
It's not, but.
Okay. What are you saying? Because you're on a trip.
Radians is another way of measuring angle.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't have a unit.
Okay.
So it's just one.
Okay.
One is about.
So you're making a math joke.
Making a math joke.
So everyone who got it and like you're laughing along with Chad know that he's thirsty for those laughs.
Thank you. I am thirsty. One radian is not quite 60 degrees. It's a pretty deep bow.
Yeah, who's doing a 60 degree bow? Like, I'm not meeting the freaking emperor.
See, you know the occasion for which it would be appropriate.
So I guess I know who's doing a 60 degree bow. Everybody meeting the emperor. That's right? Who.
Yes.
So I really like the bowing, and I find it interesting that when you part ways, it's just like bow, 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 bow.
Yeah.
Like it's tons of bowing. So when my Japanese clients leave the office, we just continue bowing, and then they continue talking until they're out the door saying bye, and then they close it. It can be up to like a 2-minute long thing to say goodbye.
That's a lot quicker than some other people, though.
Yes, I do have some clients that, like, even after I unlock the door, open it, and give them, like, the scoot-scoot hands, will, like, lean in and continue talking to me from the doorway. And I'm like, most of the time, I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom.
Because I know growing up, my mom's family, it's like a 45-minute goodbye. I'm like, okay, what? Bye, see you later. And then, like, 45 minutes later, they leave.
What?
Yeah.
What would you be doing in that 45 minutes? After say goodbye, see you later, love you, mwah.
Trying to get them out the door.
Get them out the door, huh? Like, what are you talking about? What are they doing?
They're, like, future plan scheduling. Like, oh, did I tell you about? Like, it's a whole thing.
Okay, I do have people, and I know how to maneuver them.
Yeah.
And so I have a set thing. So I end all my sessions the exact same way. Like, when the session time is over, I put my reading glasses on. I grab my schedule book. I open it, and then I say, so, would you like to schedule your next... I say, do you want to do this again? So do you think you want to do this again? And do you want to schedule now? Do you know your schedule now?
Mm-hmm.
So no, I have several different ways. Now that I'm thinking about it, I have several different ways that I end it. I thought it was one way.
But none of them are hugging.
No, none of them are hugging. So this is a digression. I'm still going to digress. So I put my glasses on and I grab my schedule book and then ask people, do you know your availability now or do you want to schedule by email?
Mm-hmm.
Or I say, so, do you think you want to do this again? And I say, do you know your schedule now or do you want to schedule by email? And I say, so, do you know when you want to come back or do you want to email?
So these sound like people who are regular clients, like regular in the sense of coming to see you on a regular basis or a first-time client.
Yeah.
Who may or may not come back. And then I know you have some people who only come sporadically.
Yeah. And then for some clients, it's just putting my glasses open and say, our next appointment is.
Yeah.
And then stand up, open the door, walk out the sliding door. Because I have sliding doors in my office. And sometimes even sliding doors, like I can go sit down. I don't have any of these clients now, but I had a few years back a client that I could go sit down in the other room and answer emails while they were getting together and still talking to me. And I would tell them all the time, I'm hard of hearing. Once I exit the room, I can't hear you.
Right.
But they would take so long that I would just, like, check my email and, like, they knew they took a long time. Mm-hmm. And then they would go to the bathroom and, like, at the 10-minute warning, I would have to get up and leave the room because it would take them between 10 and 20 minutes to leave my office.
So this
and not because, like, they had a hard session or anything.
Right. Just their leaving process.
Yeah, and they warned me about it. And so I thought it was really sweet they warned me about it. They're like, hey, so yeah, something about me. It takes me anywhere between 15 and 20 minutes to leave a place. So can you work that into our time? And I was like, you're so thoughtful. Yes, I can.
Yeah, interesting. It reminds me of, because I've mentioned this before. I do occasionally meet people who tell me, I'm your wife's client. And then want to talk about it. And I never talk about what they talk about in their session because I'm like, you should talk to Kisser about that because you're not getting free therapy from me.
And you can't do therapy. You're not a therapist.
Exactly. I am not.
No, you're not.
But sometimes I want to talk about non-therapeutic things. And I like, I just love Christopher. I just like, it's really great to be there, but I don't understand how she survives when I'm her only client. Because in contrast with the US practice of usually booking 50-minute sessions with 10 minutes in between, so everybody's on the hour, you leave a half hour in between, which means that typically when by the time a client arrives, the previous client has left. Even if the previous client leaves late and the new one arrives early.
Well, that's because my waiting room is across the hall in a completely different unit.
Yeah.
So you can come up the stairs, go in the unit, close the door, and there's nobody in that unit. So it's a, so they're apartments for people to live in. So it's a 2DK. So that's a two-room apartment with a dining room and kitchen. And there's nobody in it. It's completely empty.
Yeah.
And so that's my, well, it's not complete. It has a table and chairs and a bunch of toys because that's where I also do play therapy. Mm-hmm. And then there's my unit where I do therapy. That's also a 2DK and that's across the hall. So they never even pass, they usually, I can't say never, they usually don't even pass each other on the street. Mm-hmm. And everybody always assumes I don't see Japanese nationals.
Yes.
So if they see a Japanese national on the street, they wouldn't assume that they were
a your client. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't see every foreigner who lives in the area.
And there are just like, I think of them as free range foreigners. There are free range foreigners that live around my office. So I see them out and about every now and then. Cause now that Meijo is a Meijo University is really close to Ozone Station. A lot of people live near Ozone Station.
Which... Yeah. The new Meijo University campus is over by the dome. And that campus handles the international relations and the English and like the different international stuff. So they are promoting that for international students and for Japanese students who want to go to other countries after graduation.
Yeah.
So I've noticed when I'm in that area that a lot of people want to try out their English or different things like college age people.
Yeah.
And I have some professor friends who work there, so.
So I want to make a correction on something I said earlier. I used to hug and kiss my friends in the United States. Mm-hmm. I used to be one hug and like a le bise, but it was actually cheek.
Yeah. The noise.
Yeah, I would do. Yeah, because I just did like a hand to my face and made the noise to demonstrate how I kiss. And just cheek and then go, mwah. And you like, you know, put your cheek down and go.
Yeah.
And then you and I agree that that noise is the kiss.
It is. Without that noise, it's not the kiss.
No, it's not. And so sometimes we do silent smooches, but for the most part, we make sure to, at the end.
Yeah.
So that way you know you've been kissed.
Yes. So yeah, it's weird. Like, with the touching thing, I find that Americans were a lot more aggressive about making a moderate level of contact with me.
What do you mean? I don't know what a moderate level of contact is.
Like, some people would be like, I'm going to shake your hand, but I'm going to do it in a way that's going to try and crush your hand.
Those... That stupid macho crap where, like, you can win a discussion based on how aggressive your handshake is.
Yeah, like, I'm going to grab your hand and yank it all around and not let go of it. And, like,
I've dominated you.
Yeah.
No, you've just shown that you're an asshole.
Right?
And that you're an insecure asshole.
Okay. And I feel like... Yeah, you might be able to dominate my hand. Probably not, but, you know, I've got arthritis, so thanks for...
And you have really big hands.
Yeah.
So most people can't get their hand around your hand to
do like that the crushing, squeeze. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a really... Like, they have to have a really large hand. Because your ring finger... The size on your ring finger is, like, what, a 10 or 11?
It's at least a 12, like depending on how big I am, how much I weigh at the time in between.
Your hands aren't fat, they're big.
Right, but.
You don't have like meaty paws. We just ordered you a ring off the internet.
I think that was a 12.
Okay. So yeah, that was the whole thing. So you have really big hands.
Yeah.
And like the palm part of your hand is pretty wide and pretty big.
Yeah.
Like, when you make a fist, it looks like a freaking sledgehammer. To me. That's how I've always envisioned it. Like, sledgehammers at the end of your Whereas I have like little pebbles at the ends of my wrist. My hands are so small.
Well, it does tend to intimidate people if I make a fist, because I do say sledgehammers when I make them.
Yeah.
I make a fist and I go, sledgehammers! And then I'm not going to mess with you now.
Like, the most violent we are is, like, when you play your video games. And I'm, like, sure, you are when you get in a fight in your video game, beat them up, babe, kick their ass, get them, beat them, destroy them. So, yeah. So, lately you've been playing a game where you, like, rock a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And you, like, beat people up and
yeah,
run around and stuff. So, woo! My mic almost fell.
Death Stranding, for anybody who's trying to figure
out. What?
The name of the game is Death Stranding.
What?
Our viewers have heard it. Do you want me to say it again?
Yes.
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding.
Yep.
So, like, I'm stranding you and now you're dead? So, like, the goal of the game is to strand people?
No, but that's completely off topic and would take far longer than the time we have remaining to discuss. But it's mostly strand in the sense of, like, cords and beaches.
Okay.
But anyway...
No, I want to know Death Strand. People are along the ride. Just trust them to go on the ride with us. Like, what are you on about?
Well, I was going to say that I'm much more of a passive violence kind of person.
Okay, so, and Death Strand is passive violence? I saw you totally, like, kicking ass in the game.
Okay,
and then you, like, someone tried to mug you and you beat them up and took their truck.
Yes.
I don't think that's a spoiler alert.
No, but that's the kind of violence that I was trained in and am best at and find.
Okay, you're trained and best at beating people up and taking their things?
No, because you're not watching the game carefully. What happens is that I stand there and they attack me, mm-hmm. and them attacking me, then I shove them out of the way.
But you knock them to the ground.
I tie them up after I shove them out of the way so they can't bother me again. That part doesn't happen in real life.
Okay, so yeah, I usually see you at that point. And then, so while you're tying them up, I'm telling you to beat them up?
Yes.
And you're okay. So when Chad plays video games, I just randomly shout things at him, like, kick their ass, babe. Ooh, look at that. I just randomly comment on the game because I randomly look at what he's doing. And then wherever he's at in the game, I either yes. comment or ask questions until I understand.
Like, kick their ass. I'm playing solitaire. But that king, I saw him looking at you.
Yes, I was totally like a really random, think of it as like a random pop-in.
Yeah.
So for me, I feel like you're a lot more solitary in Japan than, well, no, I should correct. You're a lot more solitary in the past, I want to say 6 months, than you were our entire time in Japan.
Hmm, yeah.
6 to 8 months, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
So, and you've always worked. Almost always worked remote.
Yeah, we've talked about this before.
Yeah. So why do you think that you've become much more solitary, do you think?
I think because I'm not working in a Japanese industry at the moment. So Japan is the biggest market in the world for academic editing, which is what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were always people around who were also doing it, academic editing or translation
but
or whatever.
But you wouldn't hang out with them, would you? Were you?
At least once a month.
Really?
Yeah. We've talked about the ACCJ, which I used to belong to when I was
doing
that.
Yeah, those people are not doing academic editing.
Quite a few of them were, actually.
Okay. Shocker, didn't know that. I thought they're all owning their businesses.
No. No, there were editors and translators and people who managed editors and translators. And.
But you did stuff besides the ACCJ. Like, you would go out sometimes as often as once or twice a week.
Yeah.
And now you're not hanging out with as many people.
I think I wasn't hanging out with people when I was going out. I was just going out for walks and things. And lately it's just been more painful.
And I think it's been a year since I've hung out socially.
Yeah.
Like over a year since I've hung out socially. I have to get out my calendar and look. 'Cause I don't hang out socially.
But I hang out online.
Yeah, I hang out online too.
Yeah.
I love our tweets. I love our music notes.
So one of the nice things for me about hanging out online is the lack of touch. And I know some people are touch-starved, but I am not touch-starved.
Well, we touch each other
yeah.
every time we pass each other, we touch.
Yeah.
So I think if you were to die or something horrible happened to you, that's the only way that we're going to separate is something
yeah.
like death. that's so ominous. The only way we're separated is if you die. So for me, I don't envision a world where I'd be touch starved. Mm-hmm. And then I also touch Rasta a lot. So we get lots of hugs from Rasta.
But Japanese people, for the most part, fall into one of three categories. There's the Japanese businessmen who want to shake hands to show that they can shake hands. Uh-huh. And I'm like, wait, let's go to dinner and I'll watch you use a fork and you can watch me use chopsticks. Let's do this thing. There's most people who don't touch me at all, mm-hmm. which I appreciate. And then there's the people who randomly decide that they want to run into me on the street. Mm-hmm. And it's that, or on the subway or whatever. And it's that last person that my stolidity is most useful, because I will just stand there and let you hurt yourself against me. I don't feel bad about that.
For me, one thing that I really don't miss from the United States is women flirting with you and touching you.
Mm, yeah.
Like laughing and then running their hand down your chest, laughing and running their hand down your arm, rubbing your back, all of that stuff. I don't miss any of that.
I don't either, because it's so awkward, because it wasn't things that I wanted.
Yeah.
But if I say what's like in my heart at the moment, then I'm the aggressive one.
Yeah.
Because anytime you shout at somebody, quit fucking touching me, don't you fucking dare, what the fuck are you thinking?
Yeah.
You're the aggressive one. And it's like, no, I grew up with like a childhood of abuse and people touching me whether I wanted them to or not.
Yeah. And I don't miss people thinking they can touch your head or your beard.
Yeah.
I don't know why a bald head or a beard is an invitation for Americans to touch.
Yeah, it's not an invitation.
No, it's a personal choice on how you want to look and how you want to move through the world. It's not like, hey, look at me, I'm bald, touch me.
Right.
Your hair left.
It's not like wearing a free hug sign.
Yeah. I feel like your hair migrated. You like to make the joke, migrated from the top of your head to your face.
Yes, it went south.
Yes, your hair went south. And so I don't understand. And so I was bald for quite a few years by choice. I would shave my head. And I got really good for sensing when people were going to touch my head. So I'm really good at not being touched on my head or my face. So I really don't like those two areas of my body being touched at all, ever, by anyone. Those, and we've talked about my ears, like, ooh,
yes.
Don't make my ears hot.
Yes.
I want to kick your ass. Do not make my ears hot.
Like, even I don't make her ears hot.
Yeah, I'm getting stirred even thinking about it. So the one person who used to get away with touching my ears on a regular basis is our son, but he wouldn't actually touch my ears. He would, like, kiss my cheek on my jaw and then breathe deeply like a... into my ear as he kissed me. So I had to do it just for everyone to cringe the way I cringe. Sorry. Sorry about it. Sorry, not sorry. Like,
that was like an auditory touch.
Yes. And I feel like everybody go on Twitter and like tell Rasta, do not sniff in your mother's ear when you kiss her. Y'all don't do what we ask anyway. So I'm not doing him any harm by saying that. But, you know. When you listen to this episode, Bubs, know I love you. Mommy loves you. I love you, Mina. That's like a joke we have. He's like, why do you say that? I don't know. I just do. I just like it because it makes it sound so fake. I love you, Mina.
Okay, so I don't know if I've told this story or not, but I think it's relevant to the Japanese aversion to touch. In general, there's because people don't have it.
Do you think the Japanese have an aversion to touch?
I think they, in general, that they do in social situations. I think, like, on a personal level, that they probably have the same desire for touch as everybody else.
Okay.
Collectively.
Okay.
I think that socially, they don't want to make contact in things that they would not be clearly in the right on.
Okay.
So I may have told this story before, but I think it's funny. I was in Tokyo for work, and I had my cane with me, and the train was crowded, and I wanted to sit down, and there was this guy just taking up, like, several seats.
Like, leg spreading and all that.
Yeah.
Man spreading.
Yeah. In the disabled seating. Mm. Like, and clearly not disabled. I know some disabilities are not visible in all of that, but
yeah,
his behavior indicated that, like, he was fully aware of what he was doing, and he was like, just fuck that. I don't care about disabled people, old people, pregnant people, whatever. So his legs were so spread so far apart that I could stand there with my cane in between them,
mm-hmm.
because there was a pole in between them anyway. Mm-hmm. So he had the pole in between them, my cane in between them, and he was still, like, almost lying down on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing maybe 6 inches from him.
Mm-hmm.
It was a crowded subway. So his stop comes, and he says, nothing. I was, like, expecting, like, an excuse me or something. I move out of his way.
Mm-hmm.
He says nothing, so I don't move. And he starts, like, bobbing his head and, like, making motions like I have to get up.
Mm-hmm.
I just stand there because he's an asshole. He hasn't given up his seat for me.
Yeah.
And not only that, he hasn't given up any of his seats for me. He has multiple. Well,
and he hasn't just simply said, excuse me.
Right.
That's all I mean. Like, that's not hard. It's not strange.
That's what I'm saying. I'm waiting for him to say, excuse me, and then I'll move out of his way.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. Instead, he slithers down the entire bench. Like, awkwardly trying to avoid all contact with me. It took him, like, 2 to 3 minutes to get off of the subway bench instead of just asking.
Yeah.
Because he's trying very hard not to make contact with me. Because, like, if he pushes me or whatever, he's very clearly in the wrong.
Yeah.
But he's so, I don't know, like, angry, afraid is how I think of it.
Mm.
I see people do this. They get, like, angry that I exist, but then afraid to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost missed his stop. And then once he moved, in my mind, the entire train clapped. But in reality,
Was it a slow clap?
Yeah. In reality, I sat down and two other people sat down too, because he'd been taking up 3 seats.
Yeah. So I think you have told that story on a cast before, but
it's a good story.
Yeah. So I hope that you guys enjoyed it, and I hope you guys enjoyed hanging out with us. We enjoyed hanging out with you. We love each and every single music note, and we're so humbled and honored that you take time out to listen to us ramble on about the things we ramble on about. And we hope to talk with you again next week, or if you're getting caught up on episodes, in the next 5 minutes. I don't know why we've been saying that a lot.
Yeah.
Recently at the end. I think you started it, and I really liked it. I did start it,
yeah.
Yeah, and I really liked it. So, yeah. Because
we don't want people to feel like they have to wait a week if they've got episodes waiting.
Yeah, no, you can binge listen.
You can binge listen.
Or binge read if you're reading our transcripts, because we are an inclusive cast. I'm so proud of us for that. So, yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. You can keep the conversation going on our website at themusicsinjapan.com. That's the music spelled M-U-S-I-C-K-S. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at The Musics on both.
And if you'd like to support us, please visit our website to sign up for our newsletter, join a Patreon tier, or send us a one-time donation through PayPal or Ko-fi. We hope you'll listen again next week.
Bye.